Goedemorgen en heel hartelijk welkom bij Out of Power. Vandaag is het de dag waarin we stilstaan bij de doden die gevallen zijn in de Tweede Wereldoorlog. En in verband met dodenherdenking en morgen de bevrijding die we vieren op 5 mei, heb ik een gesprek met een bijzonder iemand en een verhaal over de Tweede Wereldoorlog. En Jacob Olsen is een blinde golfer en heeft een boek geschreven en wordt geïnterviewd door Bobby Schuller. En dat heeft alles te maken met ik zie wat jij niet ziet. En veel muziek in de Crystal Cathedral. En iedereen, van harte welkom bij Hour of Power. Fijn dat jij kijkt. En we vinden het geweldig om elke zondag zoveel kijkers te mogen verwelkomen. In Nederland, maar ook in België, in delen van Duitsland, maar ook in Frankrijk. En in Spanje en Portugal worden de overwinteraars gekeken. Nogmaals, van harte welkom.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning. So glad you all are here. People are able to tune in through television and worship with us. And that's really a special thing about the Hour of Power. Amen.
Amen.
Turn around to those who are standing next to you. Greet them warmly in the name of the Lord and say, God loves you. So do I. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're so grateful that you are with us in this season. Lord, I pray for everybody who comes here weary, broken, hungry for spiritual things. We pray, God, that by your Holy Spirit, the deepest needs would be met today, and that people would leave here refreshed, renewed, and restored. Lord, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I asked Jake Olson, who is an incredible young man, blind, And he will be giving the message today. We have a scripture reading specifically for him today that's a medley of passages. So in preparation for Jake's message, hear these special readings from the New Testament. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. May God add his blessing to the reading of this, his word.
When I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. The universe displayed, then sings my soul, oh, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation to take me home, what joy shall fill my heart, and I shall bow in humble acclamation to take me home. The joy will fill my heart, then sings my soul, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, oh, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Thank you, Genevieve. So appreciate you. So glad to have you here again. Today, it's my real honor to welcome back to the Hour of Power an incredible young man, Jacob Olson. When Jake was 8 months old, he was diagnosed with a rare form of eye cancer. And at 10 months old, he lost his left eye to this disease. In 2009, at the age of 12, he lost the remaining eye in the disease. So Jake has not let his loss of sight stop him from achieving his goals and dreams. He spends much of his time on the golf course, which is amazing to me, by the way. I'm going to ask you about that in a minute. His ESPN feature made him an international spokesman for courage, but Jake has also become an increasingly visible symbol of happiness through faith in Jesus Christ. Just before he lost his eyesight in his remaining eye, one of his dreams was to see a USC game. And at that time, Pete Carroll was the coach, heard of Jake's wishes, and invited him to a game. Jake was instantly made a part of the team, sitting on the sidelines with Coach Carroll and the USC staff, and was regular in the locker room. He and Pete Carroll remain close friends today, which is even more amazing than the golf thing. They have... that is so cool. Are you a Seahawks fan?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
We'll get back to that in a minute. They have a synergistic relationship with one another. Jake's friends... Coach Carroll recently led his Seattle Seahawks to the Super Bowl championship. Of course, we all know that. And Jake has written a powerful book, Open Your Eyes, 10 Uncommon Lessons to Discovering a Happier Life. Please welcome my friend Jake Olson. Jake, so you golf.
I do.
One of the things we have to point out to our international audience is that in America, golf is something that all sorts of guys do. In the international world, I think you have to have like a license. You have to be super rich, a member of a golf club. Here, it's like $16 and I go golfing with my gardener, you know, and it's like, no problem. But you golf, what's your best score?
My best score so far has been a 78.
Right? Am I right? That's crazy. So how do you... I mean, like, how do you golf? I mean, I can't see the ball.
Very carefully.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, to tell you the truth, it's golf is one of those sports that the ball's not moving. You know, it's just sitting there looking back up at you. And so, my dad will line the club up behind it, and with a proper swing, you can get it back and hit the ball flush every time. And so, it's taken a lot of practice, but for sure, it's something I love to do and can continue to do it.
And you play football too?
I do. I'm the long snapper for my high school team. And for those non-football fans out there, the long snapper is the guy who will snap the ball to the kickers. And so it's another position that I was able to do. And so I worked hard at it and became proficient at it. And
I guess any long snapper isn't going to look back at the kicker anyway, so it doesn't really...
Yeah, exactly. So it's all feel.
And, of course, you weren't always completely blind. You were blind in one eye, and then you lost the other eye at about 5 years ago or something like that?
Yeah, four years ago at the age of 12. Eventually, cancer took my right eye, which, you know, was...
Had to be super hard.
It was. It was hard, but you've seen what God has done with it. It's amazing.
Well, Jake, your message is so encouraging. Of course, we interviewed you, I think it was a year and a half ago. I think you were about this much shorter and this much skinnier. Well, we're so glad to have you here. And who's your dog?
This is Quebec.
Hi, Quebec.
This is Quebec. He's my guide dog, and so, yeah, he might do a couple of things up here during the service. So if you see him wandering or barking, or just know that he's happy to be here too.
Well, Jake, it's a real honor to have you here, and we feel so blessed to hear from you, ladies and gentlemen. Would you give him a big hand and a big welcome, Jake Olson?
Thank you, Jake.
Thank you.
mooi om gasten te mogen interviewen die een verhaal hebben en waar Out of Power ook weer ergens mee te maken heeft. En vandaag is het verhaal van Anneke. Anneke werd in 1945 geboren in Midden-Limburg als buitenechtelijk kind. Haar vader was weggevoerd naar Duitsland en haar moeder kreeg een relatie met een Engelse militair. En daaruit werd Anneke geboren. Haar vader kwam terug uit Duitsland en besloot Anneke als zijn eigen kind op te voeden. Maar dat ging niet helemaal goed. Er kwam ruzie, er kwam verwarring en Anneke maakte dat mee. En uiteindelijk belandde ze in een spiraal van radeloosheid, in ravijnen van wie ben ik, wie mag ik zijn. En daarover schreef ze, naar aanleiding van al die herinneringen, een boek. En het boek is getiteld Kind in de Mist. Anneke, heel soms goedemorgen.
Goedemorgen.
Mooie titel, Kind in de Mist, want jouw leven ging letterlijk de mist in. Zoals zoveel kinderen uit de tijd die buitenechtelijk geboren werden.
Ja, inderdaad. In die zin ook in de mist dat je niet gezien werd. Omdat je geen naam had, dat je je afkomst niet wist. En het voelde als mist, maar hoe ouder ik werd, hoe meer die mist zichtbaar werd. Want hoe ouder ik werd, hoe meer ik zocht naar identiteit. En die ik ook niet kon vinden. Ja, ik voelde me er ook niet bij horen. Het voelde zo. Maar ik kon het niet, ook als kind, beseffen. Het was een gevoel wat ik niet duidelijk had. En dan denk je dat iedereen dat voelt. Zo werkt dat. Maar hoe ouder je wordt, hoe meer je erachter komt dat het gevoel is wat niet eigenlijk zo hoort te zijn. En ja.
En dan? Dan ga je op een zoektocht?
Ja, dat is pas begonnen, pas een jaar of 12 geleden. Omdat ik altijd dacht dat ik een Nederlandse vader had. Mijn moeder zei dat mijn vader een Nederlander was. En ik heb daarom niet gaan zoeken. Ik ben daarom niet gaan zoeken, want ik dacht, ik wist het ook. Ze had een naam genoemd, dat is dan jouw vader. En toen mijn moeder stierf, heb ik die familie benaderd. Heb ik hun een brief geschreven. En ze hebben met z'n allen een DNA-test gedaan. En toen bleek dat niet mijn vader te zijn. Dus eigenlijk pas een jaar of 11, 12 terug heb ik dat gevoel gehad van dat ik een ravijn, dat ik langs een ravijn liep, omdat ik helemaal niet meer wist wie ik was.
En je moeder heeft je nooit geholpen om jouw identiteit te vinden?
Nee, mijn moeder heeft de naam van mijn Engel, heeft nooit tegen mij gezegd dat ik een Engelse vader had.
Schaamte?
Absoluut. Ik denk zeker schaamte, ja.
Want het was, heeft ze misschien wel verteld aan je een avontuurtje?
Zeker, ze heeft het wel verteld tegen de familie.
Ja.
Dat ik een Engelse vader had. En iedereen wist het. Het hele dorp wist dat ik een Engelse vader had.
Behalve jij?
Behalve ik. En tegen mij zei ze, nee, dat noemden ze de naam van die man. Dat is jouw vader. En die Engelse militair, die is van het zicht verdwenen.
Ben jij op zoek gegaan naar je echte vader in Engeland?
Ja, ik ben op zoek gegaan. Ik ben bij mijn vereniging Bevrijdingskinderen gegaan. En daar hebben ze tegen mij gezegd dat het, ik was een, hoe zeggen ze dat? Een speld in de hooiberg.
Ja.
Dus,
ja, dat helpt.
Absoluut, ja, dat hielp heel, heel veel. Dus ja, ik er was te weinig aanwezig om te zoeken. Ik had alleen maar een voornaam. En ik weet ook in welk regiment hij was en welk bataljon en zo. Maar ik had alleen een voornaam. En dat was allemaal nadat mijn moeder overleden was. Anders had ik haar natuurlijk kunnen vragen van, mam, kom eens op de proppen met de waarheid. Ik ben heel boos op haar geweest. Zo boos, ik heb bladzijden vol geschreven met een paar scheldwoorden. En dat hield mij niet op. Die boosheid is toen weggegaan. Ik heb er ook vergeven.
In de Bijbel staat dat je 70 keer 7 maal moet vergeven. Heb je echt tot de diepte van vergeving kunnen gaan?
Ja, ik heb gemerkt toen ik het zomaar wilde vergeven, dat niet genoeg werkte. Dat kwam niet diep genoeg. En ik moest er ook heel erg bij huilen, want ik wilde eigenlijk, ik wilde wel vergeven, ik wilde niet vergeven.
Kennen.
En dus ik ging toch vergeven, maar dat botste, hè. Want hoe kan je nou zo iemand vergeven die zoiets heeft aangedaan? Maar toch wou ik het.
Weet je dat maar, met hulp van God of
ja,
in je een?
Ja, dat wil ik net gaan vertellen, want ik heb daarvoor gebeden. Ik heb echt gehuild tijdens het willen vergeven. En dat ging de één avond, er was net of er een schilletje weg was. Misschien ben ik wel 15 keer of meer iedere keer opnieuw begonnen. En iedere keer kwam er een schilletje, als van een ui zeg ik altijd. En op een bepaald moment voelde ik me bij de kern komen. En toen was het alsof het gezuiverd werd. Het was zo bijzonder. En toen dacht ik van ja, nou weet ik waarom de Bijbel zegt 70 keer 7.
Oh ja?
Omdat dat niet, hoe dieper de pijn, hoe meer je moeite moet doen om bij die ziel te komen. Want er zitten schillen omheen. Maar dat moet echt vanuit je hart, vanuit je ziel komen. En toen voelde ik ook dat dat weg was. Dat is onvoorstelbaar. Er is best zoveel gebeurd in mijn jeugd. En van negativiteit en zo. Maar sinds ik vergeven
heb... Wat is er gebeurd in je jeugd van negativiteit?
Mijn moeder had toch wel een stoornis. Ze was heel... ze vernederde en ze boos. En ik denk dat ik ook het levend voorbeeld was van haar...
Zonde.
Van haar zonde dan, ja. Dus ik liep dan door het huis. Ik was steeds het levende voorbeeld van haar misstap. Dus...
Hoe vernederde ze jou?
Heel erg scheldwoorden. Hele diepe vernedering. Hele erge scheldwoorden. En ik weet nog dat... Ik kan me nog herinneren, ik wilde dat niet voelen. Ik wist dat dat heel erg was wat ze deed. Dat voelde ik. En ik wilde dat niet voelen. Dat was mijn redding om het niet te willen voelen. Ik was een jaar of 6 toen oma tegen mij zei... Toen was oma ziek. Zei ze, kind, als je het moeilijk hebt, dan moet je maar bidden. En mij zei dat op dat moment niet zoveel. Maar ik ben toen beginnen te bidden. En eigenlijk elke avond. En ook als ik het moeilijk had, dan bad ik. Hè, en dat was een ontzettende steun voor mij. En dat hou vast. Hè, tot God. Tot Jezus. En... Dat heeft mij sterker gemaakt. Ja. Ik zeg niet dat ik er zonder kleerscheuren van af ben gekomen... of zonder frustraties, dat
want,
niet.
Want waarom heb je het boek geschreven?
Het boek heb ik geschreven
om... het van je af te schrijven?
Ja, in de eerste instantie om het zelf van me af te schrijven. Niet omdat ik dacht, van, ik ga het uitgeven of zo. En toen had ik het geschreven en toen ik had een paar vrienden, meelezers... en die zeiden, dat moet je gaan uitgeven, dat is zo mooi. En toen ben ik eigenlijk heb ik besloten om het uit te geven.
Mag je te zien, het ligt zo heel nat. Netjes naast je, kijk. Ja. Mooi dat kopje zo. Het is een heel verhaal geworden.
Ja.
Ik sla hier open, er staat Mijn geloof in God. Daarvoor zit je goed bij Hour of Power.
Ja.
Want wat betekent dat geloof voor je? Of ik zou kunnen vragen van, als je dat geloof niet had gehad, had je dan ook zo erbij gezeten?
Nee, absoluut niet. Dat is zo'n houvast voor me geweest, mijn leven lang, als kind. En het is gegroeid. Want ik ben natuurlijk al later ook meer gaan studeren daarover. Want toen ben ik de Bijbel gaan lezen en Bijbelstudies gedaan. En dan is dat geloof alleen maar groter geworden. Ik merk ook dat vergeven, dat is zo ontzettend belangrijk. Want als je vergeeft, dan kom je ook los en dan word je vrij. Ik had wel boze gevoelens van afwijzing en niet geaccepteerd zijn. En dat gaat weg. Ik heb dat nooit meer. Iedereen maakt op zijn manier erge dingen mee in zijn leven. Je hebt mensen die hebben een hele fijne jeugd gehad. Heel beschermd opgevoed. Die maken dan toch iets ergs mee. En kunnen dezelfde pijn ervaren als ik. Dat boek heb ik geschreven om laten te zien van... Luister eens, er is een houvast. Je moet niet steeds omkijken van of slachtoffer gaan worden. Ieder mens kan een sterk mens worden door God. Aan de hand van God. En er is een grote leegte in het leven van mensen. Het kan ontstaan, maar God vult die leegte met zijn liefde. En dat is er voor iedereen. Je moet er wel voor openstaan en je moet het willen. En je moet het geloven.
Je zegt het met overtuiging.
Ik ben helemaal overtuigd.
Ja. Geweldig. Ja, wat is je droom?
De wereld ziet er niet uit zoals ik het zou willen. Maar als meer mensen hun leed achter zich zouden laten... en zouden vertrouwen op God... En geloven in hem, dan zouden ze een veel fijner leven hebben.
Ik laat jou niet met lege handen weggaan. En ik geef je graag het inspirerende en motiverende dagboek van dominee Schuller. Ja. Sinds een paar jaar kijk je naar Hour of Power.
Ja.
Waarom is dat gekomen?
Ik was bij een kerk en het was goed, het was een prima kerk. Maar op een of andere manier, ik was ook met mijn boek bezig en zo. En ik had minder tijd. En op zondagmorgen kijk ik om 19:30 naar Belies. En om 8:00 naar Hour of Power. En daarna nog wat. Dus dan ben ik geestelijk gevoed. En,
wat trek je in Hour of Power?
Het positieve. Positiviteit. Blije. Ja. En ik vind Bobby Schuller een geweldige. Een geweldige.
Hier zit spreker. Er nog één. Ja. Ja.
Oh, ik vind het zo niet. Ja. Ongelooflijk talent heeft die man. Ja. Ja.
Dus, nou, maar dat heb jij ook. We hebben allemaal onze talenten. En als we woekeren met onze talenten, dan komen we precies tot het doel waarvoor we geschapen zijn.
Klopt,
ik geef je graag dit boek met een mooie boekenlegger.
Nou, dank je wel.
Ik hoop dat je nog heel lang mag blijven stralen, want dat ben je, een stralende vrouw, Anneke. En ik wens je heel veel zegen toe op de levensweg.
Dank je.
Jammer dat je vader nooit hebt gevonden, je echte vader.
Nee, maar later, hè?
De grote
wellicht.
Vader.
Ja, 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 inderdaad. Ja. Oké. Okay.
Dank je wel.
Ja.
We have a vision here to be a church with a global mission. Celebrating the kingdom of God. How cool is that? He wants to give you a new heart, a new will, a new way of viewing life. He's saying, shine! That's what you, my friends, were made to be. And you belong. I am not what I do. I am a child of God. And my hope and belief is that you will be that person.
Al 15 jaar geeft Hour of Power wereldwijd mensen bemoediging, inspiratie en hoop. Een levensveranderend televisieprogramma met krachtige toespraken van Bobby Schuller, bijzondere interviews en geweldige muziek. En u kunt hier deel van uitmaken door u vandaag aan te melden als donateur. Hour of Power is ook regelmatig actief in het land. Was u erbij met Hour of Power Live? Een evenement waar we hebben genoten van Bobby's boodschap en de prachtige muziek. Ook dat is een taal van Hour of Power. Beleef schitterend gearrangeerde klassiekers als Amazing Grace, Abide With Me en It Is Well With My Soul op elk moment van de dag met de cd Love Divine. Word donateur en ontvang deze cd als welkomstgeschenk. Uw leven heeft impact op de wereld. Maak deel uit van onze missie. Word donateur van Hour of Power.
Blind, but now
see.
Well, it is an honor to be back here on Hour of Power. It was such a great experience last time, and so it's just an honor to be here and be able to speak to you guys this morning. As I mentioned, I went blind around 4 years ago, and you think about how much you use your eyesight. It's you use it every day in everything you do. And so to lose that was hard. You know, I had to adapt a lot. I had to come up with tricks and new ways to do things, to learn how to read again and walk again and all these different things. But I have to say, one of the toughest things, if not the toughest thing about being blind, is actually people forgetting that I am blind. You know, I'm not talking about, you know, people I just meet or, you know, friends I haven't seen in a little while that aren't used to me being blind. I'm talking about close family members and close friends. Why? For example, not too long ago, I came back from an AP bio trip down in Florida, and hey, we were down in the Keys of Florida, and we were doing a lot of snorkeling, and we were on these boats, and these boats were called flat tops, actually. And if you picture a pontoon boat, it looked a lot like that, where on each side were these openings to the water and little gates, but there was no gate there, just dropped off into the water. And that's how you would exit and enter onto the boat. And anyways, we went snorkeling, and we came back on the boat, and, you know, I took off my gear and, you know, put on a shirt, grabbed the towel. And, you know, six of my friends are on the boat, two teachers, you know, a captain, and, you know, I'm looking for one of them to kind of help me try to find a seat, and, you know, no one's really paying attention to me or anything like that, so I'm trying to find a seat by myself, and, you know, here comes the other side, and all of a sudden, I fall on the other side of the water, back into the water, and then everyone goes, oh my gosh, Jake, you're right. It's like, oh, now you're going to pay attention to me, you know, where were you 30 seconds ago when I'm trying to find a seat, you know, it's like, oh, we forgot. Or my own mother, even. You know, it was last weekend, actually. I was in the supermarket with her, and I was walking up and down the aisles talking to her, and we were in discussion, and we stopped, and I asked her a question, and there's no response. And so, you know, I figured, you know, she's reading a label or something like that. She's preoccupied, so I asked the question again, and no response. So I kind of feel out for her, like, Mommy, you there? And she's not there anymore. I'm like, well, where'd she go? That's about 45 seconds later, down the hall, like all the way down the other side of the aisle. Oh, sorry, Jake, I left you standing there. I forgot. I moved down here now. I mean, I was standing in the middle of the aisle. People were trying to get around me. People were crashing into each other. And, you know, store managers were coming up after I need help. It was a big mess. Anyways, I guess at the end of the day, I have to take it as a compliment. Well, I did battle cancer for 12 years of my life. And these weren't easy battles. During my life, the cancer came back around 8 times, and see, there you go. Go back, you're good. And each time I, come back, what are you barking up? You're good boy. And each time I did battle, at the age of 1, I lost my left eye to cancer, and I missed many days and weeks of school due to chemotherapy. I went through countless surgeries. But I stand here in front of you today, thankful for the blessings that God has given me in my life. Amen. You see, in the book of 1 Thessalonians, it says that we are supposed to be thankful in all circumstances, for it's the will of God. Now, why don't you say that? All circumstances. It doesn't say some circumstances. It doesn't say circumstances we think we should be thankful for. No, there are no qualifiers. It's simple. We are supposed to approach life with a grateful heart. And this can only be done with the grace of God. Now, I can understand you're sitting there right now going, you know, well, Jake, you just told us how you faced cancer your entire life, you went blind, and you went through all these struggles. I can't sit here and think that you were just jolly all the time, and, you know, you were thankful all the time, and you didn't go struggle, and you weren't sad or mad. And I'm not going to lie to you. There were plenty of times I was sad. There were plenty of times I was mad or angry. Even till today, I get sad. You know, not a day goes by that I wake up and don't realize I'm blind and wish I wasn't. But But one thing I held on to throughout all the adversity in my life is my faith. God said that he had a plan for my life, and I believe that. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Standing in your faith. Standing in your faith when things are good. Standing in your faith when things are bad. Standing in your faith when the unthinkable is upon you. There is nothing more powerful in all of creation than when you stand in your faith and God's grace and remain in his will when you are facing the most difficult times in your life. See, at an early age, I learned that life was going to bring challenges and adversity. And challenges I've had. But what I've also learned is God's not going to give you anything that you can't handle. You see, every struggle I faced has only strengthened my faith. It's true. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. During my battle with cancer, I put my faith into Jesus Christ. My favorite verse is Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but to give you hope in a future." See, I've learned that God does have a plan for all our lives. That's beyond our imagination. If we listen to his whisper, we can find out who we really are and what our true potential is. See, it's my faith and God's grace that got me through the daily struggles of cancer, the treatment, the thought of going blind, and ultimately the reality of going blind. It's his grace that got me through my darkest hours. My faith does not come and go either. It is always with me. It means every day, even when times are scary, even when times are rough, even when times aren't making sense, I continue to put my faith into God and that he has a plan for my life. You know, there's different definitions for faith. It can be elusive. But what faith means to me is where the works and promises of God are made real. Now, only you know where you are in your faith, in your walk with God. But I urge you this. Never grow weak in your faith. Never grow weary in your faith. Always be prepared. You don't know when it's going to be tested. Pastor Schuler mentioned all this stuff. I do golf and play football, and I'm a pretty athletic guy. And I grew up at Huntington Beach, so I love to surf, Surf City. And so when I'm out on the ocean, it's similar to being prepared in your faith. You see, when I'm out on the ocean, I always have to be conscious about where my board is. I always have to know where my board is and be prepared to hang on to my board. It's like in life. We have to know where our faith is. We have to be prepared to grab onto our faith. See, when I'm on the ocean, I can't see those waves coming. I don't know when they're going to come and hit. But if I'm prepared to hang on my board, those waves do come, it's just not going to knock me off my board. I'll be able to grab on, stay afloat, and still be paddling out to the ocean. In life, we can't always see adversity coming. It can just come up and hit us. But if you know where your faith is, and you're prepared to grab on your faith, and you're standing on that firm rock that God provides, that adversity is not going to knock you off. You're going to be standing there, ready to move on through life. You see, as Christians, we are required to be strong and prepared in our faith. So we've learned to surf by faith, not by sight. Since going blind, I've realized what's important in life. The moment I went blind, God gave me a greater gift than my physical sight. He opened my eyes to my true potential. When I found out I was going to go blind, I made a decision that blindness was not going to rob me of my childhood. It wasn't going to rob me of my future. I also spent time out in the blind community, inspiring other blind kids, helping them see their true potential. I have my own foundation called Out of Sight Faith that helps blind kids get the technology they need to succeed in school. I just wrote a new book called Open Your Eyes. I'll be talking about that a little later in the message. See, I live a life full of light and hope. And anything I want to take on, I want the power of heaven behind me. But I also don't want to leave you here with the impression that I have everything figured out. You know, I constantly pray for God's grace, and I constantly pray for his guidance. But just because I'm not being stopped doesn't mean I'm sometimes frustrated or squarely reminded that I am blind. I mean, let's take golf, for instance. I think we can all agree that golf is not an easy thing to do. And I'm going to let you guys in on a little secret today, all right? It doesn't get any easier when you can't see the ball. Anywhere I go in golf, on the weekends, I'm the only blind guy out there. You know, I go golf in my high school matches, I'm the only blind guy out there. And golfing blind has required me to dig deep. And I dig deeper every day. The patience, the perseverance, and the mental toughness that golf has taught me have shown up in different aspects of my life. So I believe my potential in golf is unlimited. I believe my potential in life is unlimited. As I mentioned, I just came out with a new book called Open Your Eyes. The book challenges the reader to open their eyes to their true potential. Have you asked God that recently? You say, God, will you open my eyes to my true potential? Or God, will you open my eyes to your will in my life? I promise you. You ask him that, he will answer. Because we serve a God full of hope, and he gives hope beyond measure. You know, another message that's found in my book is finding the setup in the setback. See, I don't know where you are in your struggles right now, but I can promise you this. Your darkest hour can soon become your brightest. Every day is a miracle waiting to happen. And your job is to find that miracle. In other words, you're trying to find the set up in the setback. You see, living with cancer was a setback in my life. For 12 years, we were constantly in our doctor's offices, constantly in hospitals receiving treatment. Eventually, I went blind, and that was a setback in my life. One that I never thought was possible. But going blind has opened my life up to a new life full of amazing opportunities. Now, I often wonder, what would my life be like if I never went blind or I never faced cancer? Well, I know I wouldn't be here speaking to you today. I know I've never set up a foundation that helps other blind kids. I know I've never written a book that inspires thousands. So you got to see the setup in the setback. You know, I go and speak to lots of people, and some of these people include groups of blind people, and many of them cannot see the setup in the setback. They're depressed and discouraged. They've let blindness stop them in their tracks. And that's not what God wants. This is the work of the enemy. You know, a good example comes out of the book of Mark. We get a story of blind Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus was a beggar around the time of Jesus in Jericho. And it was believed at the time that beggars would wear a cloak with a special insignia on it that basically gave them permission to beg. So one day while Bartimaeus is on the roadside doing his thing and begging, and he hears that Jesus is walking by, and so he cries out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, to make a public declaration calling Jesus the son of David is to call him the prophesied Messiah. To call him that publicly is dangerous, to say the least. Many people are killed or prosecuted for saying things such as that. So the people around him told him, you know, be quiet, don't say anything. So what does Bartimaeus do? He says it louder. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. When Jesus sees this demonstration of undaunted faith, he calls Bartimaeus to him. It says that Bartimaeus got up, threw down his cloak, and went to Jesus. And Jesus healed him because of his faith. So what's so uncommon about Bartimaeus' faith? You see, when he hears that Jesus is walking by, he immediately calls out to Jesus and addresses him as a prophesied Messiah, exhibiting an insight into Jesus' true mission here on earth. He also has an unstoppable faith, a faith that will not take no for an answer. You see, when Bartimaeus calls out, and he's told to be quiet, he doesn't listen. He cries out all the louder. And the people are embarrassed that the town beggar goes ballistic as Jesus walks by. But Bartimaeus doesn't care. He has an intensity of desire that overcomes obstacles, rebuke, and embarrassment to achieve what he desires. And Jesus is pleased. So when Bartimaeus got up and threw down his cloak, he took a leap of faith. He made a decision that he was going to trust God. He was going to trust that God knew where he was going to lead his life. He made a decision that he was no longer going to live the life that he chose for himself to live. That he was no longer going to live the life that society chose for him to live. But he was now going to live the life that God chose for him to live. See, my life is similar. I too had to take a leap of faith. I too had to trust that God knew where he was leading my life. Trust me, I didn't want to go blind. I didn't. But my opinion didn't matter. God had a plan for me, and it was my job to trust in that plan. It's my job now to focus on the life that God has in store for me and not the life that I thought would suit me best. See, I believe Bartimaeus' cloak not only stood for a reason to beg, but stood for the life that he chose to live. See, we all have cloaks in our lives. These cloaks stand for the reasons why we are not complete in our relationship with God. These cloaks are the reasons why we are not letting God lead our lives in the way that he wants to. As I mentioned before, Jeremiah says that God has a plan for us, full of hope and prosperity. The Bible says that God loves us. He loves us so much that he sent his one and only son to die for us. And he says that he'll always take care of you, no matter what. Then why? Why are we not letting God lead our lives in the way that he wants to? Are you scared? Is your own pride getting in the way? Maybe you're sitting there thinking to yourself, you know, I don't need God. I'm a successful man in life. I know how to play this game. I don't need some divine authority telling me how to live my life. I can do it myself. Maybe you're sitting there thinking to yourself, you know, Jake, I believe in God, yeah. I really do, and I believe and he died for me and he'll take care of me, but I'm going through a hard time as it is, and I don't know if I can just completely trust him and put my life into his hands. You know, I'd feel a little more secure if I took my life over a little bit. You know, you really expect me to put complete faith in him? And the answer is yes. The only way we can live up to our true potential in accordance to God's will is by demonstrating complete faith. It's the only way. Let me put in a different word for you. Your goal in life should not be to become wealthy. Your goal in life should not be to become famous. Your goal in life should not be to own the nicest things, to have the most friends, to be able to show off. Your goal in life should be none of that. Your goal in life should be to live the life that God has in store for you. Should be your goal. See, God does have a plan for you. It's beyond your imagination. He knew what he wanted you to do even before you were born. So I ask you, what is your cloak? What is your cloak? What do you need to remove in your life in order to complete your relationship with Christ? What is it? Once you know what it is, it's simple. All you got to do is take off that cloak. Open your eyes and let God lead your life in the way that he wants to. Bartimaeus didn't care about obstacles, rebuke, or embarrassment. He had an intensity of desire to take that leap of faith. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I want to conclude by saying this. I stand in front of you today and say that I'm complete in my relationship with Christ. I've taken off my cloak. Blindness, the labels, they mean nothing to me. Brokenness, where it exists, is in the mind, not the body. My mind, body, and soul remain whole. And I thank God for that every day. Helen Keller once said, "I see a God-made world, not a man-made world. I see that same world, and I walk by faith, not by sight." Thank you.
Thank you, Jake, for your message. You've really touched the hearts of these people here. You can tell it meant a lot to them what you said. And we're so grateful that you came here and blessed us this morning.
Thank you, thank you.
And I'm no longer the youngest person to preach here, which is really great. That's good news. We really are touched and inspired. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Jake. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you for watching us. For those of you who are around the world on Hour of Power, like us on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us. If you follow me, Bobby Schuler, I have quotes from sermons and different things every 5 hours. So if you need an update, like me and follow me on Facebook. So thank you, all of you watching around the world. And thank you, friends here who came here today. We hope that you leave blessed and encouraged and refreshed. And now for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Vanuit de Bloemenzee, waar ik tussen mag zitten, wens ik alle Hour of Power-kijkers een hele goede zondag toe. En ook genoeg om stil te staan wat er gebeurde een aantal jaren geleden in de Tweede Wereldoorlog. De mensen die hun leven gaven om onze vrijheid. En ook begin van dit jaar werd weer duidelijk dat vrede ver te zoeken is in Europa. Als doden mogen wij denken, maar nieuw leven is datgene wat een christen motiveert en inspireert. Volgende week is het Moederdag. Dan hebben we wel een heel bijzondere gast. Ik hou de spanning er even in. Wens iedereen hele fijne dagen toe. En ik hoop tot volgende week bij Hour of Power. Then sings my soul of my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul.